505 Jeff Katz News Radio WRVA. Thrilled to welcome the newest member of Team Katz as we raise money for the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, Certified Auto Repair and Arts Automotive Service, stepping to the plate. And we'll have more details on how they are helping out, but I will just tell you, they are delivering in a big, big way. I'll have more details as we head through the next couple of weeks. We've got the big event, the father figure that we are part of, I'm part of, and so many people jumping on to say, well, we want to help. So I will give you the details and ask you to help those who are helping us, our whole job, Fatherhood Foundation, is to help men become the best dads possible. That's all. Because nobody's ever met a man who said, you know, I really hope I'm a crappy dad. It doesn't happen. But there are lots of guys who truthfully just don't have the tools. They don't know. They don't know how to be a good dad. They don't know what it is they're supposed to do. They don't know what it is that they're not supposed to do. So that's where the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia comes into play. And I'm very happy about that. One of the best dads I know, Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, is going to be with us at 5:35. Yeah. We'll be talking about some of the decisions coming down from the Supreme Court. The latest one, once again, has to do with President Trump. These local federal district judges are all about pretending they were elected president. And they were not. It's just that simple. So I voted for Donald Trump. Who did you vote for? All right, you're listening to me hoping you voted for Donald Trump. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. But whoever it was that you voted for, that's the person you voted for. You didn't vote for some local federal district judge. Some of them are fine people. I'm not demeaning them in any way. I'm not insulting their accomplishments. But you're not the president. If you'd like to be the president, that's fine. Then take off your robes and put down your gavel and go run for office. Maybe it's something you really do want to do. But I would say step up to the plate. If it's not something you want to do, but you still want to make laws or be involved in the legal process making laws, well, then run for the House of Representatives or run for the U.S. Senate. That's where that stuff happens. And if you don't want to do that because you have a lifetime appointment with one of the best work schedules anywhere, then maybe you should just do your job. You know your role. Didn't The Rock say that? Know your role? Again, friendly advice. Or advice from your friendly old Uncle Jeff. Congratulations to Todd Gilbert. Todd Gilbert, as you know, was the Speaker of the House of Delegates, has been a member of the House of Delegates for some time. He was just sworn in as the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Virginia. That is huge. You know who has just been named the U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware? Julianne Murray. Does that name sound familiar, Germ? It should, because she was on our show a couple of times, this here little show she was on, and she has just been named publicly as the new U.S. attorney for the district that encompasses the entire state of Delaware. It's odd. I'm thinking, I now know two U.S. attorneys, and I hope to never interact with them in any sort of a professional way. Yeah, good luck to them. I want them to do great things for the right reasons, for the right people, but I don't need any other involvement with that. I'll tell you that right now. All right. A couple of things that I would like you to take a look at. Well, take a listen to. That's a better way to put it. Here we are talking about ICE again, right? And it seems to be that this is the MSNBC mantra, that anybody and everybody who is in law enforcement writ large is a bad person, and those who are in ICE in particular are the worst of the worst. It is MSNBC, so of course there are always some safety issues. Hang on one second. Safety issue number one, because we will be listening to something from MSNBC. Please now take a sip of your beverage, whether it is hot or cold. Now is the time to take a sip of it, so that as you hear the MSNBC audio, you do not spit aforementioned beverage at your laptop or your car windshield. And number two, the other thing I always like to remind you of is that I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No. It's okay. You're welcome. I mean, you owe me, but you're welcome. Let's take a listen to cut number three, Germ.
Yeah. So two things can be true. You did vote for this, but then also to see it in action is a completely different experience, I think. Do you see now that this polling has come out? I'm curious how you think Democrats are going to re-strategize around this, because a significant amount of the party still believes that when you're battling against someone like Donald Trump, what you're supposed to do is actually try to meet them where they are and match them on issues like immigration.
Like talk policy.
Exactly. Like or try to prove that they have some like level of right-wing bona fides on the issue. Do you think now they'll look at this and go, oh, wait a minute, we can go back to a different message. We can talk about the American dream and the value of immigrants, and that maybe that won't be a huge risk to us.
Or we can say abolish ICE. That was the thing at one point. You remember? Everybody was like talking about abolishing ICE. That was
No, I don't think everybody.
No,
and I think Democrats were very freaked out by that. Slogan.
Correct. But what I meant to say to Antonio's point is abolish ICE was something that you could say. And it was a debate within the Democratic Party whether that should be part of the platform. Obviously, they did not go that route. And now we're here in this situation where, as you were saying, they're kind of wishy-washy on what they should do. We've had many members of Congress sit in that chair who I've asked, should ICE be abolished? And they're kind of still tiptoeing around it, even though ICE is acting with more impunity, masks. Some are saying that's even illegal. Last time you were on the show, I asked you if ICE should be abolished. You said ICE should be reformed. And I want to keep coming back to this because I think the more we see of ICE, the more we see of its egregious behavior, absolutely, the impunity that it's operating with, the fact that it is becoming an almost standalone military. It's a runaway train. And do you still believe it can be reformed? I mean, you have introduced legislation in the past about abolishing ICE, and I'm curious to know why you changed.
Now, I got a question for you. Where's the runaway train? How exactly are the men and women of ICE doing anything that's out of bounds or inappropriate? They are enforcing the law they have been sworn to enforce. I think that some of these people are in shock because certainly for the last 4 years, under the reign of Joe Biden's puppet masters, President Autopen, they told ICE and the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection, stop doing what you're supposed to do. Turned them into Uber drivers and DoorDash delivery folks. Now, they're back to doing their job, and some people on the far left apparently not all that happy about it. Quite frankly, I don't care. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. The skies have opened, and the center of the universe is now being pelted with some pretty, pretty heavy downpours right about now. We've got thunderstorms rolling through. I haven't seen the lightning yet. But if you got thunder, you get lightning, right? Sort of a package deal, two for one. Last night, we had hours of lightning and thunder. As crazy as it sounds, I sat near the window watching the lightning. I just thought it was fascinating. I probably spent the better part of an hour there and even taking care of some stuff, doing things, Julia duty, stuff like that, because Heidi's got this her latest musical mission headed up to Boston. But I was looking at stuff, watching stuff. I didn't have a screen of any sort. That was it. So there you go. All right, we've got a flood warning in Chesterfield, and we've got big flood watches everywhere else. And I got a pair of tickets for you to go to see John Fogerty. He's coming August the 1st, the Atlantic Union Bank After Hours Concert Series. I would love, 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 love for you to get those tickets. We'll take caller number 7 right now, 833-804-1140. Caller number 7, you get a pair of tickets for John Fogerty coming August the 1st to Atlantic Union Bank After Hours, Meadow Event Park in Doswell. Now, the flooding, apparently there is flooding happening in Chesterfield. Again, I would ask you, use the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, and let me know if you are seeing any sort of flooding, so at least we can pass it along to people, especially if you're seeing flooding on any of the roadways. James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Instagram. If you have not yet signed up to follow us on Instagram, you need to do it. News Radio WRVA, at News Radio WRVA. That is the handle over there. And you'll get a chance, if you sign up to follow News Radio WRVA on Instagram, have a chance to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, candid things, things that, well, you probably shouldn't see. Now that I think about it, I don't know. A lot of personal intrusion going on here. I may have to dial that back, but we still want you to follow us at News Radio WRVA on Instagram. Sign up now, and when we get to 1,000 followers, and we just kicked this thing off yesterday, I think we're about halfway there, but when we get to 1,000 followers, then we will be able to share some of the live segments with you right on Instagram. So that'll be pretty cool, but again, we do need you to follow us at News Radio WRVA. That's the handle on Instagram. Starting at midnight, 12:01, the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition gets underway. I am very, very happy to say the Jeff Katz Show, once again, finalist for Best Afternoon Radio Show. So for the next couple of weeks, I will be even more annoying than usual. And that's saying something, isn't it? But I will be reminding you that you can vote once a day via text, once a day online, for each of your email accounts. So some might be voting 10 times a day. I don't care. But it is every day until sometime in August. So it's about 4 weeks that I'm going to be really, really, really a pain in the rear end. But there's a strategy to this. I know it's annoying. But if you make us the number one afternoon radio show this year and next year, that's it. They retire my jersey. We're done. Think about that. 525 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 536 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. We got a lot of rain falling up here in Hanover at the moment, and at the same time, we've got bright sunshine. So maybe it is passing through. We do have those flood warnings, those flood watches, really throughout all of central Virginia. And as you heard, the forecast as we move forward, heavy thunderstorms throughout the course of the night, and flooding is a distinct possibility. So bear that all in mind. I would urge you, tomorrow morning when you get up and you're headed out, make sure you tune in to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. That starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And with Rich and Gary Hess and Dan, you'll be able to get all the information you need so that you can navigate whatever happens to be out there as an obstacle in the morning. Couple of decisions that have come down recently from the Supreme Court would seem to indicate, yes, President Trump is the president of the United States, has the right to do certain things, and yet still, at the local district federal court level, there are some of these folks who seem to think they were elected president. So what gives? I don't know. It's a legal issue, so that means I call in the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno joins us this afternoon. Counselor, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, how are you, sir? It's always a pleasure.
I am doing well. I am just a little confused, though, because it wasn't more than, what, a week or two ago that the Supreme said, hey, district court judges, cut this garbage out. I mean, they said it nicer than that in legalese, but that's what they said, I thought. And now, are we right back to it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there was a time not that long ago that judges were proud and protective of their own record and their reputation and would not want to get overturned on appeal because it would look good as if they're making bad rulings. They don't seem to care so much anymore. I kind of feel like they like their 15 minutes of fame, and they'll make these rulings knowing full well they will get overturned at either the appeals court level or at the Supreme Court, and they don't care. So we're seeing very, very aggressive district court judges, and their rulings are, I'd say, really pushing the envelope in two areas. One is the nationwide injunctions, which we've talked about, which the Supreme Court has largely slapped down, which is basically saying, I don't care who's in front of me, who are the actual parties to the litigation, I am making a ruling for all parties affected by a particular situation, whatever it is. The Supreme Court slapped that down and said, no, wait a minute. The whole purpose of having district judges in 94 different districts is that their jurisdiction is applicable in that district, not everywhere. So they kind of slapped that down from a process perspective. The other part where they're really being aggressive is asserting themselves over the president and the executive branch and really kind of reaching in there and saying, we, the district judges, know better than the president how to run the executive branch, even though the Constitution is very clear that the president is the chief executive of the country. He has the power to run the executive branch as he sees fit within the boundaries of the law, of course.
Sure.
But judges don't get to reach in there and say how he staffs things, who he staffs with, what resources he needs to commit to, what his priorities should be. That's basically what's been happening here.
Well, you talk about staffing, and he gets to run the executive branch as he sees fit. That ties into this other Supreme Court decision, which says the Department of Education can have a de-staffing, if you will. The president, the secretary of education, decide how to staff it, allowing the president to move forward with layoffs, correct?
Correct. So if think of it in terms of a business context, right? A CEO of a company should be able to pick his or her own general counsel, chief financial officer, chief of staff, right? Personal assistant, vice presidents of different business divisions, right? We would never think anything strange of that, right? Of course, the person who's been put in charge of a company should be able to run the company with the people and the resources that he or she chooses.
Yeah.
It's really not much different for the president, right? I mean, there are certain civil service protections, and there are protections of, among people that, for reasons they can or cannot be terminated or whatnot, but for the most part, the president should be able to choose the appointees and the civil servants that he or she wants. And if it means prioritizing certain things over others, or if it means that the president feels a particular agency or department is overstaffed and he can do things more efficiently with fewer people to save money for the taxpayer, that should be permitted. And so the idea that one argument was, well, Congress budgeted a certain amount. So if Congress gives, 1,000 positions authorized for this department, the president has to fill all 1,000 positions. And the Supreme Court said, no, that doesn't work that way. That's the maximum the president can staff, but it doesn't mean that he has to fill those or has to keep them filled with people he doesn't want.
Okay.
So that's part of the argument here. Another part is just basically saying, the president should not have to keep people on that he feels are undermining his agenda or his priorities.
Right.
And so, again, keeping civil service protections in place. There are certain parameters that have to be followed in terms of reducing people or terminating people. But as long as those are followed and things aren't done illegally, you can choose who you want or don't want in a particular department. So it sounds like common sense, both for the private sector and the government, but it took the Supreme Court to step in and say, hey, again, local judges, you are not empowered to tell the president how to run his executive branch.
There was dissent, though, if I recall. Joe Moreno is joining us, a former federal prosecutor, very, very, very well-respected attorney in private practice now. But the dissent, if I recall, was Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that, well, Congress created the department, so therefore the executive can't eliminate it or can't have firings, or am I misunderstanding that?
No, that's a point, and that's a question that still has not been clearly answered. So on the one hand, you have something like the State Department, right, where the Supreme Court said, yes, you know, okay to go ahead and reduce headcount at the State Department. Department of Education, because it was created by Congress in 1979, the president arguably can't just shut it down. I think that would probably take an act of Congress to just eliminate it off the books. But the Supreme Court did, again, enforce the argument that the president is the Secretary of Education is a cabinet officer that reports to the president. So all of the Department of Education falls within the authority of the president. And so therefore, once again, he can staff it with as much or as few people and to what degree of which people he wants to fill that department. So there's still an open question about whether he can kind of cut it to the bone. But he's not required to maintain a certain headcount or follow a certain mission or kind of keep some structure in place if he feels it's not consistent with his priorities.
Wow. It's odd because there's some of us of an age, Joe. I remember the predecessor, Health, Education, and Welfare. And so it just seemed to me this is just a successor agency on that side, Health and Human Service successor agency on that side. So if there was some power that did that, then maybe it's something else. But are we done now with decisions from the Supreme Court? Because I know the first Monday in October is what? That's when everything starts, gets fired up. So is this it? We've heard everything?
Well, this is it for this term. So okay. Now there's the emergency docket. So there's always a justice on duty. Okay. So if there are emergency cases, that's always available 24/7 all year long. Okay. And so we have seen cases that thankfully the Supreme Court has been willing to hear on the emergency docket because they're so egregious. And if you let it run its normal course, it could take years. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a very good thing that the court has come in and taken some of these cases very quickly. Because to show how premature some of these early district judge rulings were, whether it was Education Department, State Department, or whatever, there had not even been any terminations that occurred. It was simply the idea that the president wanted to reduce possibly the workforce in these departments that a judge said, nope, can't do it, almost anticipating something illegal would come of it. So what the court has said, look, you don't have a license, Mr. President, to do illegal things, but we're not going to take a case unless there's a real person who's been affected, who has a real argument that for whatever reason, he or she feels they have been treated in an illegal manner. Then we'll hear that case. But we're not going to allow a judge to put a freeze on all executive actions because of the possibility that something illegal could take place. And so they've solidified to say we need real people and we need a real legal argument that something actually happened, not a hypothetical or theoretical thing. So the long way of saying there will be cases, there's no doubt there will be lawsuits, but at least the court has provided some structure to say we don't want to see these empty nationwide injunctions made with basically no legal argument other than the potential of a legal argument in the future.
I love it. Hey, Joe, on the way out here, can you remind everybody where they go to read some of your latest columns and articles online?
Hey, I'm on The Spectator. I'm on YouTube. I don't post a lot on X. I know I got to get on that. But yeah. I really try to get on Fox and Newsmax as best I can, and the occasional CNN and BBC invitation as well.
Well, you deserve all of those, and I will make sure we've got all those links up. And I say it each time you're here, because I mean it each time you're here. I'm grateful to you for making time for us.
Jeff, thank you, sir. It's always an honor.
Thank you, my friend. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The raindrops are coming down by the bucket full. It's not that nice, delicate, aw, isn't it nice that it's raining? It's the holy mother of God, are we building an ark or not? Let's get our rear ends in gear. I guess technically if you were building an ark and you were marching the animals two by two, you could say, let's get our asses in gear, and it wouldn't be offensive. See, I just did that. This reminds me. I was ready to sing along with that song. And no, you're welcome that I didn't. But with all of this Instagram stuff that we're doing, and oh, you're not following us yet? Well, shame on you. Go to Instagram and follow at News Radio WRBA, at News Radio WRBA. Me singing along to that song is kind of something that might wind up on Instagram. I mean, we wouldn't put it out over the air because, you know, there's standards. But Instagram, man, it's like the Wild West. So just another suggestion to you, Instagram at News Radio WRVA. That's our handle over there, at News Radio WRVA. One of the other benefits of it is that when we start putting all this stuff up on Instagram, then you can see it. You'll have reading material for those times when you need reading material, but you'll also be able to annoy your spouse, close friends, business associates by just sending them massive amounts of at News Radio WRBA Instagram posts. See, I'm always thinking. I'm thinking ahead. I'm a big picture guy, as you know, Germ. Details, not so much. And definitely not a numbers guy. But big picture, yeah. I think that's, we'd be okay. All right. All of that being said, first thing tomorrow morning, I will remind you that Rich Herrera will be here, 6 a.m., Richmond's Morning News. And we've got a lot of weather issues. Sometimes we go, oh, my God, it's the weather. I know, but... we've been doing this for 100, well, not me, but the station's been doing this for 100 years, and I think they've done pretty well throughout the years. And one of the things that we do is, and we take it very seriously, we serve as a resource for Central Virginia. If something is happening, especially if it's something bad that's happening, people know, they can turn to us, and you've got the information you need. So with the weather and some pretty severe flooding down there in Petersburg, and I'm hearing in Chesterfield as well, right? Like Skin Quarter and Beach and a couple of other locales down in Chesterfield, that's going to pose some problems. So I appreciate you listening this afternoon, but starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow, please, you'll be driving, you'll be heading out. Make sure you're paying attention to that. I am going to post a little bit later this evening the ways that you can vote for the Jeff Katz Show for Best Afternoon Radio Show in the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition. That actually does begin this evening. Yep. And I will give you the details on that. I'll get it all posted. I have the phone code here somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I will find it. I promise. I really, 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 I will find it. I'll get it posted, and then I'm going to demand that you vote each and every day so we can put an end to this nonsense at some point. All right. Have a great evening. Please beware the weather. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.